Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us. Yes, it is a little different sounding as we have changed things up just a little bit, but we want you to stay with us. Your number is up. What number is that? I have no clue. That's why you're going to have to stay tuned. We're going to be talking with Elizabeth Summers. She's a numerologist and then some. And we encourage you to listen in and then go to her website. It's on our website, too. Stay tuned.
Walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
2014. We're in it. Up to our eyeballs, so to speak, and it's getting deeper and deeper every day that we move forward, and we encourage you to join us as we move forward together in this process. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and that is excluding those days when there are sporting events on the radio station, when we then will come to you later in the afternoon or evening or on a Sunday, but we're always streamed live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also always broadcast on A2Zen.fm during the week, and you'll need to check their listings to find out the days and times. However, there's always a guarantee that this program will be available to you at our archives page at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So we encourage you to investigate all of that, and we certainly hope that you will make yourself avail yourself of all of these different opportunities. We also encourage you to go to the website of our guests, and of course today is no exception. We ask you to check out the website of Elizabeth Summers, and her website is elizabethsummers.com, where you can find out about her and all of the work that she does beyond what we are going to talk about here today. One of the things that Elizabeth does not know specifically about me is the fact that I see letters and numbers in colors and have for, gosh, I don't know how many years, but it's been, again, that's just the way things are. That's normal. And so I don't know what that has to do with numerology as well as the aspects of astrology that we'll be talking about. But right now, let's welcome Elizabeth Summers to our program. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Saturday.
Hi, Richard. I am just delighted to be here with you. And hello to everyone who's listening. You know, Santa Barbara is one of my favorite places. I have gone there many times. And somehow, maybe it's a past life thing, I feel connected to that entire area. My son lives in North Hollywood, and whenever I go to visit him, I force him into the car, and we drive up the coastline, and we do lunch and visit in Santa Barbara. Love it.
Well, I've been here for, what is it, almost 8 years, and have really enjoyed being here amongst not only the people, but also the energy that is here as well. It is an extraordinary place, and I've only lived in, you know, one other place, and that was Phoenix, Arizona. And so, you know, I can certainly understand how much people really enjoy being here. They, you know, there is this standing joke that, you know, we have a situation that allows us to live our dreams, so to speak, if that makes sense. And that's kind of what this program is about, is helping people to find those new choices that maybe they've never thought of before, or some that they haven't followed through on, to make their dreams come true, to live their purpose, to do what is their heart's desire with their life. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today, because this being the first program of 2014, and I can't believe how many New Year's programs we have done on this broadcast since 2007 in particular. But let's talk a little bit about your experiences with the numbers. As I mentioned, I see numbers, every number, every digit has a color. And we're talking about the single digits. And then when you start putting those combinations together of two or three or more, you get different shadings, different colorings. Every month of the year has a different shading and coloring based upon the combinations of letters, which also have colors and shadings of the different colors. And so I can look at a calendar in my mind's eye, and I can see the progression as we move through. I get a better feeling in September, October, November, December, and into the cooler months than I do in going into June and July, more so when I was living in Arizona. But let's talk a little bit about your introduction to numerology and numbers and why they are so important to you.
Well, I tell you, and thank you for that, I have been doing this since 1988. It's the darndest thing. Years ago, and anyone who's listening who is a little older will know that in the late 80s, we went through the harmonic convergence where a lot of us were awakening, so to speak, and I became curious. And I find over the years that that's how spirit works. It just tickles our curiosity. You know, it's not an intellectual thing. Spirituality is not an intellectual thing. It's a feeling thing, and it tickles our curiosity. Well, what about this, and what about that, and something else? And I tell my folks, just follow that down. If you're on the wrong path, you know, your higher self will jump out in front of you like a crossing guard with a stop sign and say, no, wrong path, wrong path. And so in the late 80s, I became curious. I investigated tarot. I investigated astrology, the runes, the this and that and the other thing, and channeling. And there were some significant, I must say, very powerful trance channelers that came to my town over on the East Coast. And so one day, I made an appointment with a trance channeler and for a private reading. And by that time, I had dabbled and studied in tarot, especially from the spiritual perspective of the ancient interpretations of the tarot. And what I suspect happens, which is what I share with many people, is that it triggers our recent memories that are in our soul. So I think I've done all this work in other lifetimes, quite honestly. So this one day, Richard, I went for my private channeling with this trans channeler. He wasn't a trans channeler. And a spirit guide came through and said, now I was to begin my numerology work. Well, having gone through so many modalities, at that point, I had not a clue what he was talking about. And the channeler gave me the title of a book, which I still use today. And he said it combines astrology and ancient tarot from a spiritual point of view and ancient numerology from a spiritual point of view. And I thought, okay, fine. So what's another book? And so I got another book. I did all the formulas. I studied. I went through it. And I thought, well, this is really cool. And I put it away. I put it all away for a year. One day in my kitchen on the East Coast, I heard a voice say to me, which was my awakening of clairaudience. I am clairvoyant and I am clairsentient to a degree, but mostly clairaudient and clairvoyant. Well, I heard a voice say to me, you know, those formulas that you worked a year ago that you put away, go get them out. So, okay, fine, whatever. I went and I got them out, and I could not believe the accuracy of the transits, the accuracy of the information, and I was hooked. And 45, 50 books later, here I am, still using that same book and books and everything else that I've accumulated intellectually over the years. And it is the work that I do. Esoteric numerology is my specialty, like a doctor who has a specialty, gynecology, oncology, pediatrics. I take it a step further than the basic numbers 1 through 9, which is Western numerology. And in the work that I do, I bring in a 5,000-year-old code system. The numbers have no power. They are codes, which is a language to me. And what we write on paper are numerals. And numerals represent quantity. What numbers represent are qualities, spiritual, psychic, physical, psychological qualities that I interpret in the charts that I do for people. And everything is done by hand. There's no computer here. We don't do computer work. 4 pages takes me by hand, because when I am done working through that whole chart of my client, I feel that client like a hologram. I feel, well, hello, is this a little testy lifetime, or are some things pretty spiffy doodle here for 2014 onward? And so therefore, I was guided by spirit to dabble in this and that and the other thing. And it was yes to some and no to others. And, you know, it's just like those shoes did not fit my foot. But as soon as spirit, that ancient guide, brought me through a channeling to study this work, that shoe fit my foot. And ever since then, I have loved it. I absolutely love it. And it's what I do all day long. And my work goes all over the world. And I am here with the intention of being of service. It's not about me, Richard. Not about you either. I hate to tell you. But it's not about me. I am simply the mouthpiece. I am the instrument that spirit uses to help other people come to peace.
Well, I can tell you that, especially in light of people who've been following our program for the last few years, the website, the number of pages that are available has never changed, simply because I don't reinvent the wheel when it comes to each one of my guests, yourself included. I send them to your website. I mean, because that's where the information is. I don't need to recreate that where I'm at. My website is nothing more than a portal, and this program, in a manner of speaking, is that as well. Because we're trying to get out as many different perspectives and ideas as is possible, or as I like to say, points on the circle, so that people can have a better understanding of what's out there. Now, this is probably the first time that I have ever heard of numerology and astrology actually being combined. And yet, just in a manner of speaking, it does sound kind of logical to put those two together. You have the 12 signs of the zodiac and so forth. But let me ask you something. You know, you made reference to both Western numerology, but also a 5,000-year-old form of numerology using a code. And you said that the code has no power. So I kind of want to start there with, let's say, the 9 basic digits that we know of. And actually, there are 10 if you include 0. And most of us here in the West, for example, if we take 2014, the typical way of analyzing that number and putting it into some context and codifying it down into a single digit, we'll add the 2, the 0, the 1, and the 4. And that's a 7. And then we go off and we look up 7 in our numerological book and, oh, that's what 7, oh, this is going to be a terrible year, or, oh, it's going to be a fabulous year based just upon that. And then we might do the same thing with each of the dates of each month and those types of things. But I suspect that there is a whole lot more to it than just totaling up the numbers and coming up with a good figure at the end.
That is correct. The not only the Western numerology developed by Pythagoras, who actually was a highly evolved a spirit being called Kuthumi. And Kuthumi came into human form yet again. He's come several times. And so he came in to human experience 2,600 years ago and developed with his students. They traveled particularly around the Mediterranean, but he studied with the Hebrews, and he, which is the Kabbalah that is brought in here to some degree. He studied, and he too was killed by the Politico on the island of Samos. And you know, I would not have lasted, between you and I and everyone who's listening, Richard, in And he developed mystery schools, which was the study of not only the mundane. To me, Western numerology is very mundane. Very boyfriend, girlfriend, job, day in, day out, psychological, whatever. And so he developed that. But in order to be part of his mystery schools, Richard, you had to experience 5 years of silence. I would not have lasted 20 minutes in that whole school of silence. And so everything was secret, secret, secret. So when Pythagoras was killed and his students picked up, they said, no, we're going to start disseminating this across the world. The numbers, whether it's a Pythagorean system, whether it's a Chinese system, whether it's a Chaldean system, they have no power. They are codes of information. That, and I can only speak from esoteric numerology, we present to our clients. There is, in astrology and numerology, no predestination. We all have free will, but a soul puts together a package prior to birth of what it wants to improve upon, any karma it wants to straighten out. And not every chart that I do has the karma codes in it. There are 4 major karma codes and some minor karma codes that are found in a chart. But not everyone's coming in here with a lot of fussiness to take care of. Mm-hmm. No, we've got this to do, and thank you very much. There are also codes that are found in my charts that indicate an old soul. And the beautiful thing is that old souls are, to me, like grandparents of spirituality. They volunteer to Mother, Father, God to come back into the sticky peanut butter of human experiences with one purpose only, to serve humanity. And those codes show up in various formulas that I do. They are here to be of service. Now, of course, some of them say, and well, I'm at it. I might as well straighten up some of my other little human being foibles and issues that I stumbled over in other lifetimes. Because how can I put myself out there as teacher, as spiritual worker, as helper, when I'm not scrubby-dubby myself? I'm not a hypocrite. Spirit doesn't like hypocrites. And so therefore, in the work that I do, I go deeper. I always give the metaphor, think of a house. The outer shell of the house. You're on the curb. You're looking at the house. Those are the basic numbers 1 through 9. The external, the exterior, the environmental. However, in a house, each room within its house has its own function. This is the emotional part of you. This is the bedroom. This is the kitchen. This is the garage. This is this. And in the formulas that I work through in my systems, I assign through formulas. They look like little basic algebraic formulas. Through formulas, I put numbers in each of those sections of that house, of that person. Is this who they are emotionally? Is this what makes them happy? Is this how they show themselves to other people, which is the consonants of their name? And okay, their inner self and their outer self packages it all together. And what are they supposed to do with this? And that is their path of destiny. And the very cool thing is that from a person's month, day, and year of birth, and by the way, every soul chooses its birth name. That's its baggage. That's its toolbox coming in here. And I assign numbers to all of that and interpret it. And a soul's first name is their human being baggage, their attitudes, their behaviors, their mundane. How are they going to do human beingness based on memories from other lifetimes? Their middle name is their emotional baggage, who they are. And that really is the most important name. Because in esoteric numerology, this is based on Western numerology, every human life is subdivided into 3 big lanes of life, like a 3-lane highway. The most important highway lane is between 30 and 55 years of age.
No.
And that lane of life is ruled by a person's middle name, their emotional baggage coming in here. Why? Because the emotions, we as humans, the emotions are the force field of the soul. And so when the soul wants to change, and we all know this, when the soul wants to modify, change, improve, learn its lesson, it sets up emotional situations or environmental situations, which are simply a mirror of the emotions, for us to go through, for us to experience what is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we learn through. Now, we don't have to do that. If we are really tuned in to listening and feelings and catching the hunches that our soul sends us first, like picks up the telephone and says, But we as egocentric humans override that. I don't think so. This doesn't make sense to me. What is this about? We override it. We move forward with it, and that is when we get betrayed. That is when we lose our money. That is when we get hit by a 2x4 of experience and emotions. And we wind up saying, I knew that. What is wrong with me for doing that? And that shows up in my charts. Mm.
I know that my reaction was to the fact that I have a year and a half left in that lane.
Hurry, Richard.
Well, I've had the turn signal on to change lanes here for the last 3 years, so I'm hoping the people behind me will make room for me to merge into the next lane over. We're talking with Elizabeth Summers, and we're talking about numerology as well as astrology. I want to ask you about this aspect of the energy that is contained within the numbers. Now, again, I understand what you said about the code. There is no energy. There's no power and so forth. And yet, because you brought it up, I've done a little bit of studying of the Hebrew language, the Hebrew alphabet, and the 22 characters, and the legend that each one of these characters contains. And this actually went into conversation regarding biblical translations and things getting lost in translation, and how when you start putting the characters together, they create a whole different energy for that word. You start putting words together, it creates a whole different energy for the sentence, the paragraph, the chapter, the book, and so forth. And then when you translate it into another language, that is all virtually lost because they don't carry that information over. But what I'm wondering about is the energy of the numbers. Now, we could go down the list of the 9 characters, or we could throw out some dates and those types of things, because we can look back into history and we can see these significant events that happened on these significant days. Good things or bad things, depending upon how you want to perceive them. And maybe we can get an indicator as to, okay, well, the energy of that particular series of numbers is thus and such. Is there any relevance to that train of thought in regards to any of the work that you do?
The numbers 1 through 9 in Western numerology are codes that represent information. For instance, the number 1 is a masculine number. It's a mental number. It's about initiative, drive, and courage. It's like the yang of the energy fields. Whereas the number 2 is the feminine energy, intuitive, sensitivity, mother-bound energy, partnerships, cooperation. And the number 3 is expansion. It's Jupiter energy and astrology. It's good luck. And on and on and on down through numbers 1 through 9 in Western numerology. That's the basic. I mean, a 4 is a 4 is a 4. But in the work that I do, I go further than that.
Mm-hmm.
In working out the formulas. I could arrive at a 13-4 or a 22-4. Or 31-4, and those numbers 1 through 78 correlate to the ancient tarot. Mm. Part of the ancient tarot, the 22 cards of the ancient tarot, is based on Hebrew interpretations of their codes. And so therefore, I'm able to see in the work that I do, not only interpreting the basic numbers 1 through 9, but I go deeper and I'm able to see where those numbers 1 through 78 correlate. The first 21 cards of the tarot correlate to the major arcana. Those are lessons in spirituality and consciousness that just show up on your doorstep and you got a deal. From there, we go into different suits, different themes, just like a playing card, a deck of playing cards. And the deck of playing cards that are used in gambling in our American society were based on the ancient tarot. Mm-hmm. Because in the Middle Ages, the ancient tarot was outlawed by the Christian churches for political reasons that they felt disempowered them, and therefore it went underground and turned into symbols, which are the spades and the, you know, the coins or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that work that I do and looking at those double numbers, I'm able to fit that client into a theme of its life that is involved perhaps with its career only, or emotional issues, or stressy issues, or financial issues. It sets them into broader categories. I always look at the metaphor when it comes to numerology as the numbers 1 through 9 are like a basic black dress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The work that I do is jewelry on that basic black dress. You can fluff it up, you can tear it down, you can really categorize it more definitively as far as the jewelry, the accessory that gives then the client a clear understanding as to the general issue that it's moving through. Are these my career issues? Some people come to me and they want to have boyfriend stuff, and when am I going to get married? And I look at their work and I say, that's not what your soul's interested in. It's interested in you mm-hmm. gaining your power through your work, through your career first, and then other things will come to you.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Elizabeth Summers, and she is a numerologist. She has a website, elizabethsummers.com, and we encourage you to go there and see all of the various things that she has available. She also has a workbook that is also available. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more with Elizabeth Summers here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and I'm so glad you joined us here on the first day of 2014. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thanks so much for joining us on this first day of 2014 as we are talking with Elizabeth Summers, and we're talking about numerology, astrology, the tarot. I mean, we're going all over the place, folks. I mean, in a manner of speaking, because there are so many different connections, if you will. Everything sort of overlaps. I think that is a safe conclusion that we can come to, Elizabeth, in regards to all of this, because, I mean, we've been doing this for so many years, trying to understand who we are and where we are and why we are where we are. My understanding, too, is, Elizabeth, that this business of the contract that we set up before we come into this life, the one aspect I think that a lot of people are not aware of is that it is not set in concrete. That you can, so to speak, renegotiate with the universe based upon where you are at any given point in time. Isn't that correct?
Well, this is how I look at, this is the metaphor that I use as far as the contract goes, which every soul prior to birth, you know, as a soul looks back over other previous lifetimes and says, you know, I think this needs improvement. This needs a little tweaking. And then begins to develop what is called a novel, brings people from its karmic group by choice, by soul agreement, into its quote-unquote novel to play certain roles. We all choose our parents. Our parents are imprinters. They are in our face. giving us aspects of us that we were in previous lifetimes that we need to choose with our free will as humans to continue to be like or not be like. And some will come and go and this and that and the other thing. The metaphor that I use is this. What if a soul is a person, a human, is in New Jersey and wants to make a road trip over there to San Diego? It goes to AAA, and it says to AAA, which is our souls in the spirit world who sees more than we see as humans, give me the best route to get to San Diego. Give me the best route, the most efficient route to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And so AAA gives us what's called a triptych. And it says, you know, here's where the construction is. Here's where the stumbling blocks are. Here's the best place for hotels, motels, gas is here. This is how many miles. It gives us a triptych, a plan for the best route to accomplish our journey from New Jersey to San Diego. Now, if we get in the middle of the country, and with our free will, we decide to take a right turn and go up to Detroit. I've never been to Detroit. I'm going to go to Detroit. Up you go, which is perfectly fine. You're off your AAA triptych. If Detroit is not for your highest good, greatest joy, your soul will create such havoc in your life in Detroit. Can't find a place to stay. No gas. Too expensive. Whatever. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to pull out that AAA triptych, and I'm going to get back on the road where AAA, with their efficiency and their knowingness, told me was the best way, because my end goal is not to go to Detroit. My end goal is to go to San Diego. And the soul will bring them back onto their path. After a wiggle and a wobble.
Well, I know that we all get detoured from time to time. It's kind of hard not to because of all of the distractions in this life. And we've even talked about that on this program as far as this world of duality, of light and dark, good and bad, right and wrong, left and right, and so forth. And it's so easy for us to become distracted as to the path that we know that we should be on. Are there methods that you have found through this work to help people to stay focused?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This work is very objective. There's no emotion. When I spread out 4 pages, and when I do my readings, I only ask my clients for 2 basic things. Their birth certificate name, because that tells me their baggage coming into this lifetime that they're working with in this lifetime, and their month, day, and year of birth. There's some other minor things, but I never ask them, what is going on in your life? I don't want to know. I don't want them to front load that reading. I don't want them to say, oh, she told me that because I told her this. We don't do that in my work. No. Everything is objective, and I look at it very clearly. It's meat, potatoes, bread, and butter. You need to meet people where they are, because most of the time, people get so emotionally wrapped up. Remember, the emotions are the force field of the soul, and they are chasing their tails, and they can't figure out why this is happening to them, and what should I do with this? And they're just all wrapped up. They make me crazy sometimes. They come here hysterical, and I tell them, calm down. Let's do the reading, and it's A to B, B to C, C to D. It's very, but I also bring in, it's information. Here's where you are. Here's where you're going, because some people, when they are in the middle of an emotional turmoil, ready to slit their wrists, quite honestly, they think it's going to go on forever. Only God, Mother, Father, God is forever. Everything has a beginning and a middle and an end. And in the work that I do, I'm able to tell them, here was the beginning, this is the middle, and here's where it's going to end. Okay. So therefore, and here's how you process this. Here's how you move through this. Because there are karma codes that when a person doesn't get it coming at them from the left, metaphorically speaking, their soul says, well, okay, well, they didn't get it that way. We'll just take a little break. It's called the tenfold return of energy. We'll take a little break, and we'll come at them with the same issue from a different angle, but 10 times harder. And if they don't get it there, a little break, 10 times harder. 10 times harder. Different angles. Not necessary. It shows up in their chart. Are they being manipulated and used by other people? It's karma. Are they being deceived? Have they lost money because they trusted the wrong person? Are they experiencing authority power figures? There are major karma codes that can show up not only in the basic core numbers. There are five core numbers. They're like five stilts of a life that really are the package for the person. But it can show up as a transit. As, okay, this is the year that you're in. You're in major change, and you be careful, sweetie pie, that you do not get taken advantage of, manipulated in your face, and I give them instances of how to handle it. You need to meet people where they are. People do not come when they're in the midst of turmoil and want to hear about a lot of woo-woo stuff, about a lot of esoteric stuff, about the transition in the fifth dimension and all of that.
Right.
They don't want to hear it.
Right.
It does them no good. They need meat and potatoes, bread and butter. And in the work that I do, esoteric numerology, using all of these tools that I love using for them, I try to help them with a blueprint. What they do with it, my hands are off. And when I'm finished with the reading, I bring the shield down. I do not remember my people's readings. And in a way, you know, Richard, they don't want me to remember their readings. There must have been something in that reading that was a hello to Elizabeth. So they'll call and they'll, I don't remember. Thank God. I would be in an institution if I remembered all my clients' readings. And so meat, potatoes, bread. The ancients had nothing more to do, the spiritual ancients, had nothing to do with their time. They didn't have television and radio and computers and whatever. They had their own inner knowing, their own connection with Mother, Father, God. They had the stars in the sky. They had spirit wrapped around them. They had silence that they were able to think things through, put it together for us. Give us this foundation that has lasted for thousands and thousands of years and gazillions and gazillions of people. We are souls first. We get all hung up with this human being experience that makes them crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to say that I've tried to stay away from New Year's resolutions. And more focus on real things that I want to do in terms of having a more peaceful life, as it were.
Well, 2014 is going to help you a lot.
Really?
2014 for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to force them inward. It adds to a seven that is the spiritual number. It is going to be a number of choice. They're going to pull back. Even politically, isolationism will be part of this. They're going to pull back in their own personal life, spirituality, your programs, the work that I do. It's going to be tremendously helpful for them if they're open to it. People will. There are certain numbers, people who have fours and eights, a lot of fours and eights. They need rules. They need parameters. They need the square. The geometric connected to fours and eights is a square. They need rule. They will gravitate towards formal religion, Lutheranism, Catholicism, whatever. That's what works for them because they need a framework. Some of us who are more free-spirited, more have a mindset that's more esoteric, if you will, more metaphysical, that is going to mushroom. That is going to increase. And I tell you what's going to be mushrooming are parks and oceans and water. People are just going to go to Mother Earth tremendously. Water is going to be a big issue in 2014 as far as the use of water. We are seeing ice storms, not snowstorms, ice storms. The focus is going to be on bringing water to people because water is an earth element, and it grounds people. It helps connect them to their soul. So the number 11, which shows up in people's charts, if it's their soul number, their past number, their life lesson number, their maturity number. You know there's a number that from 42 years of age onward intensifies in our life, and I call it the what I'm here to be when I grow big number. Yeah. And that gives people insight. Okay. As I grow older, this is what I'm here to accomplish and do and improve upon. And it's what it has all these technical names. No, it's what you're here to be when you grow big.
Mm-hmm.
So water is going to be a big thing. And people are moving towards simplicity. You know, it's totally amazing to me are the television programs that are coming out that have to do with the simple life, with that duck thingy and all of that simple kind of living,
yeah,
that is so popular, which totally amazes me. But nevertheless, people are going to simplify their lives, cut through the illusions,
mm-hmm,
that they have held one way or the other. And it would behoove them to get quiet, to turn off the electronics, which even was written about in the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Stop with the electronics and get quiet and think. A great emphasis is going to be on mental health. Number 7, mental health. The analytical mind. Millions, Vice President Biden has already declared it at Sandy Hook. 100 million is going to be dedicated to mental health. So anything that has to do with the number 7, exactly what you say, is getting quiet, getting simple. I just wrote a newsletter. People should go to my website, sign up for my numerology newsletter. I just sent it out, and I said that very thing, that get quiet.
Yeah. And before we move on, let our listeners know the website is ElizabethSummers.com. That's ElizabethSummers.com, where you can sign up for that free newsletter and lots of other stuff that's available on the website. But I have talked with a number of people and asked their perceptions for themselves in particular, but they can broaden it if they like, of 2014. And most people are actually excited about this new year, not just because it's a clean slate, we're starting over again, those types of things. There's something else that they're maybe not aware of, but it's just that feeling that they have that this is going to be overall a very good year. That doesn't mean that all conflicts are coming to an end, no more natural disasters, the economy is going to work itself out, etc. No, none of that. There's just that feeling that they have. Is it justified?
You know, I totally agree with you. I feel it. All of my cadres feel it too. It is an energy, even though the number 7, which is the article that I wrote, and it's on my website, it's a very introspective year. I think somehow within themselves, they are feeling that they will, a confidence, that they will be making choices that will bring them more in touch with who they are as soul. And that is making them excited. It's just like a little feeling kind of thing. I do want to suggest the United States itself, the number 7 covers all of the continents of the world, of the earth. But the United States itself has been moving through an 8-year of money, prosperity, opportunity, new lease on life. Yes. The tricky month for 2014 along those lines will be April. April 2014. I want people to just not get all carried away with their enthusiasm, one day at a time kind of thing. But in April, we have 2 eclipses. And eclipses are 3 times the power of moons. And so we will know after April where 2014 directionally is really going to go. But I agree with you. I feel that way. All my friends feel that way. There's kind of a number seven can be moody and depression and introspective and all of that, blah, 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 blah. I don't think so. I think that there is a soul connection that is coming to them from Mother, Father, God that says, look at your life, make your choices, cut through the illusion, pay attention to ethics, rights, rights, wrong, wrongs. I think there's going to be some very interesting political situations going on, which I eventually write about on my blogs, and know that I think that this spiritual year is touching their souls.
Well, I'm excited about the prospects, certainly for this year as it has just begun, and I'm in touch with different people who have good insights, including yourself, and certainly I'm going to maintain that level of optimism in spite of what happens. But here's an interesting juxtaposition I found myself in. I mentioned earlier about the whole issue of, you know, here's this world that we live in and there's the duality and so forth.
Yes.
And I had to come up with something that I could tell myself when life wasn't going so well. You know, in light of the duality, in light of what it's referred to as the Maya, the illusion that we live in. And so when things aren't going really, really well, and I'm feeling frustrated and anxious and fearful and so on and so forth, that's what I tell myself. It's an illusion. It's just an illusion. But the comeuppance is on the other side. I have to use that same phrase when things are going really well, because it's still an illusion. As you said earlier, we are not human beings. We are spirits. We are souls living in these bodies. And so this world, as science continues to reinforce for us, isn't real. It's made up of energy. And so, you know, when I first came to that realization, which I've read I don't know how many times in different books, I thought, oh, wow, that phrase is a coverall no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how much is in the bank account, you know, no matter how many days off paid from work I have or how much food I have in the refrigerator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all just a movie that I am watching.
And moving through.
You
are the observer.
Yeah.
And it's and everything is temporary. You know, there's a number, 12-3, in esoteric numerology that says that is about attitude adjustment. And when things are going great, thought is energy. It's what you're pulling to you. But also, in Eastern philosophy, which is what I study, the ancient I Ching, says that many times in our lives, which we Americans are such type A people, many times our life seems to come to a stop. It came to a stop, and we continue to bang our head against a closed door. When, if we look at it, that we are being held in place in our lives, one day at a time, while Mother, Father, God, and the universe is orchestrating folks, situations in our environment, reorchestrating all of that, which is for our highest good and greatest joy. They're holding us still like we're at a stoplight. And when everybody or pieces of that puzzle environmentally is in place for us, the light will turn green. They'll pick up the phone and call us spiritually and say, okay, you can go now. And that's when we get a phone call. That's when we meet someone. That's when our life moves ahead. So people need to just be patient and not bang their heads against a closed door, that they're being for their highest good.
Yeah.
Held in place while the universe orchestrates their environment better for them. And then when it's the right time, the doors will open.
Let me ask you in regards to the numbers. And on your website, ElizabethSummers.com, you have the 9 digits, 1 through 9. The respective numbers as they come together are interesting. I'm always looking for patterns. And I know that I think that that's part of it. For example, we had a couple of days in December. Now, obviously, we were in 2013, and so there's no 13th month, so people can't go gaga over 13, 13, 13. But the pattern I noticed was 12, 12, 13, and 12, 13, 13. And I don't know why, but those things just kind of come up in my head. And I'm going, oh, that's interesting. There's a double 12 and a 13. Oh, there's a double 13 and a 12. Just in terms of these patterns. I also came across a concept back in 2011. It was the last year, and November the 11th was the last day for another 87 or so years before we'll have another, what I like to call, a binary day, where the date was only made up of zeros and ones. Again, another series of patterns that I see in these numbers. But these numbers transcend cultures and languages and civilizations, do they not? I mean, a one is a one is a one, no matter what civilization you're talking about, no matter what time period you're talking about, correct?
Well, yes, but you know, all of that that you, in my opinion, all of that, you have to keep in mind where this all came from in the first place and what role calendars play and what roles these numbers represent. They are all human being systems.
Okay.
And therefore, they do not necessarily. Now, I do send out to my people every day a numerological horoscope of the day. It's called Number Wisdoms. It's free. They can sign up for it. And it does bring back the energy of the day to them. It's totally amazing. But as far as patterns go, personally, I don't get into that. A lot of it is human consignment and human, so many people, not so many, people have said to me, well, my work that I do as esoteric numerologist is similar to a solar astrologer doing a solar chart. The soul touched down on a specific day that it chose to be born under, and a person's birthday number is their temperament, is their personality. They need that personality to fulfill their journey, what they decided to improve upon. Okay, fine. Well, the calendar that Western numerology, some Western numerologists go by, is January to December.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's an environmental code. A soul code, however, doesn't do that. My work, your personal year, your personal issue that your soul's putting you through starts in the month that you were born and goes 12 months and wraps around to the following year that you were born. That's the journey of the soul. Now, those that have, I will say, early birthdays, January, February, March, no later than April. April's like stretching it. That energy does coincide with the more mundane numerologists that do the work according to the calendar. But the calendar per se was developed in the Middle Ages. My work was developed 2,600 years ago, 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a soul says it's the 21st, they're putting the sound, or writing it, the sound of the 21st vibrationally to the universe, boomerangs, expands, and comes back mm-hmm. energetically, which, by the way, is a very good number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cannot speak to patterns because my mind doesn't even go there.
Okay. Now you brought up something very interesting because of, again, the whole keeping track of day and time and even hours and minutes is a human construct. And when we were going through the fervor of the Mayan calendar coming up to December 21st, 2012, I read something that basically said that the whole transition period regarding that was way off, and that it actually had happened on the October the 17th of the previous year. And obviously what that brings to mind is that there's no guarantee that any kind of information like this, again, this goes back to what you said about this, all this being a human construct. There's no guarantee that that any of these kinds of predictions, whether you're trying to figure out when the second coming of Jesus will be according to the Bible, which I've heard more times than I'd care to count, or any other events like the end of the world according to the Mayan calendar, my wife said, she says, basically, no, the guy that was doing the calendar, basically at one point he just got fed up. He said, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I'm walking. And he walked away. And that's,
I agree.
And that's why the calendar ended.
I agree with her. You know, more people said to me, oh, and they got all fussed up. And oh. I got one more email about the Mayan calendar. And they, Elizabeth, what are you going to do? And we're moving on and what are you going to do? Well, I said, you know, I'll probably sit down and have a glass of wine, go to bed early that night.
There
I mean,
go.
That's the way it is.
Exactly. Just like Y2K, I still remember that.
Exactly.
And that's what I was telling everybody. All that 2012, I was telling them, everybody, that, hey, I went through that. A woman came into a gas station where I was filling up on that Friday of 1999, December 31st. And I said, look, we've been monitoring radio newscasts from around the world. Nothing is happening. Calm down.
Totally. Isn't that silly? But it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
People get worked up.
And they're not very zen. In my opinion, they're not very zen.
Exactly.
What is this? And what are you going to do with it? You can't stop the turning of the earth.
No, you cannot.
To be in the present, you make each day as best that you can. You be of service. You give love, forgiveness, and understanding, the spiritual qualities of the soul. Mm-hmm. You be patient. You deal with your human. And everything has a beginning and a middle and an end.
Absolutely.
For Pete's sake.
And nothing's permanent. That's the other thing, too.
Permanent, people.
Yeah. Let me ask you before we wrap up our program, because we are running short on time here. Who is Elizabeth Summers?
Well, Richard, I am the queen.
And I bow down to you.
When people, and I use that as an introduction. What is your name, Elizabeth? I said, Elizabeth. Like the queen. Mm. And they all laugh like you do. And I thought to myself, honey, you do not know my past lives. So I am a joyful, happy, in the moment soul whose passion is my work. I love my people. I am totally selfless as much as possible in helping them on their soul's journey, because it was Mother, Father, God, and my own inner work that helped me on mine, and I am here to share.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
My own personal peace and harmony, my own contentment of a job well done, of being of service, that I know what I know what I know. Of course, certainly I don't know everything at all. None of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But my joy is being a sharer, of sharing with them what I know, what worked for me, even on a personal level, to share with them, not to fix them. That's not my job, not to fix them, but to share with them. You know, I had a nun professor in the college that I went to, and she made us crazy every time she said this. But she would always say, there's nothing new under the sun, just new labels. Mm. So therefore, I see the labels in the work that I do. There's nothing new under the sun. Human is human is human. And that's what I try to help them understand, that human is human is human. I'm human, you're human, we're all human. I'll share with you what I know and what the ancients have taught me. Now, what you do with it, sweet pea, I honor your journey. Mm.
And how powerful are we?
Thought is energy. Thought is energy. Mm. What you think you are, you are.
I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Summers at ElizabethSummers.com. This has been a lot of fun, and I look forward to having you back in the coming months to talk more about this. And maybe at that particular point in time, we might even get into more of the more specific, if we can call them that, specific. Do we want to say predictions? Is that a fair word to use?
Well, you know, I don't like that word predictions because that's not my job. But we'll talk about opportunities.
There we go. I like that. Very good.
Opportunities.
Elizabeth, thank you so much.
I am delighted, and thank you to all your listeners. ElizabethSummers.com, and Richard, you're just a little huggy bear.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.